Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 428. Top of the day to you, Steph.
Top of the day to you.
Happy day of the days. I've just pruned something. I was waiting for like the neighbors to leave before I could prune without them judging. Judgy neighbors.
Or even worse, talking to you.
Yeah, don't want to talk to me.
I don't want to have polite conversation.
Don't want to talk.
No.
So the judgy, and they showed up literally like 10 minutes after I finished. So I was like, phew, timed that well.
Yeah.
It also meant that I had to sacrifice my reading time, which was annoying, but that was the only
time. Things you do to avoid other humans.
It's very important. What is also important is to find out which 1980s movie you are, thanks to a BuzzFeed quiz.
Okay. I was going to tell you.
Oh, what is it?
Breakfast Club.
Oh, I think you say Princess Bride. Yeah, Breakfast Club.
Yeah, I do love that.
You.
I love Goonies as well.
Oh, classic.
Do you know what I love?
Mm-hmm.
Troop Beverly Hills.
I know you do.
Yeah.
It is a good movie.
I really love that one.
Beverly Hills, what a thrill. Beverly Hills, what a thrill. I have got some watching suggestions, YouTube channels.
Oof.
Yeah, it's time to do that again.
I haven't watched
it's been a
YouTube
while.
In ages.
Well, maybe I've got a couple that you might like.
Okay.
See what you think, or maybe you'll be like, I might just find my own things.
Not interested in them.
None of those are interesting.
They sound like a load of rubbish.
And if you're not happy with those, don't worry. It is the beginning of March, so we're going to have a look at what is coming to streaming this month.
And if all of that does not interest any
just
of you.
Just do it yourself. Jeez.
No, I was going to say, I have some watching suggestions that I know everybody will love.
I got aggressive too quickly. It's now time for the
news.
They said it couldn't be done, but I just watched them put a baby in the corner. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
Okay, Vladimir on Netflix, 5th of March. It's a series with Rachel Weisz in it. Mm-hmm. I do like her. And Leo Woodall, who when you see, you'll be like, oh, yeah. This is a – you're like, oh, yeah, that guy. He hasn't changed for years.
Yeah.
Limited series about an English professor who becomes obsessed with a handsome new colleague and her already complicated marriage and career are thrown into total chaos. Sounds interesting, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Chester's here. He's a black cat and he's a good guy.
I love him so much. I fed him before.
Oh, he says thank you. Like,
yeah, he did because he was standing waiting patiently.
He will just sit at that bowl, not indicating anything, not meowing, not coming to get you. He'll just sit at the bowl.
Well, he wasn't even at the bowl. He was like four steps above the bowl. And I was like, I got you, bud. I know what you need.
You know what he's accidentally not correctly indicated. Louis Theroux inside the manosphere. Manosphere.
Oh, that'd be interesting with all of the things that are going on.
Yeah.
Have you heard about the
this is going to annoy me, whatever you say.
It's really going to annoy you. The male loneliness epidemic.
Is that because they're not leaving the house and not dating anyone?
Also,
they're just online?
That they want, like, a trad wife.
Oh, okay.
And women who live in this century go, no thanks. Also, I need to work for a living, so I have some sort of independence. I don't need you to treat me like crap.
Haven't they heard the Destiny's Child song? Yeah. All the women independent. This will be on the 11th of March on Netflix. This is, I don't want to shock you, a documentary. I'll read the little blurb for you. With rare, no-hold-barred access. It's not really. It's Louis Theroux. He investigates the growing ultra-masculine network and its controversial influences.
Oh, yeah. So that's big. That's big.
Looks like he's going over to the US to meet these blokes who are radicalizing young men's ideals about masculinity and manhood.
Yeah. Heard about them.
Mm. So they're different to the ones, the lonely blokes. Well, maybe there's
No, they're the ones who are feeding the lonely blokes their loneliness. No, their entitlement.
And I also have a show to suggest to you on Stan called Gone. on the 8th of March. It's a series, and it's from the co-creator of Hijack. If you're, I don't know, vaguely remember that name.
Yeah, I also know Gone. How do I know Gone?
Girl?
Well, yeah, obviously. Okay, but
maybe you've seen
this.
Is this
season two?
I don't know. Let's read it.
Okay.
Set against the backdrop of a prestigious private school, it's a chilling mystery focusing on a local headmaster who was the governor in The Walking Dead, who becomes the prime suspect in his wife's disappearance.
Oh.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
I mean, I'd watch that.
I kind of feel like that's a one-and-done series, right? Yeah.
I'll watch it.
Okay, great. This is one you'll definitely be watching. You'll be going on to binge. But then I also saw it was on Hey You as well. So I'm a bit confused, but it's Top Chef season 23.
Yeah.
10th of March.
Okay.
I don't really need to tell you anything else, but it's got.
They're all there and they're being fabulous.
Tom, Gail, Kristen and 15.
So chefs. I saw this really funny clip that they did, obviously to promote this season. And you know how Kristen's very tall?
Mm.
I didn't realize that Tom is not tall, or perhaps just not Kristen tall.
And it was Kristen tall.
You know,
she has tall hair as well. Like
she's probably wearing heels. Let's be honest. Yeah. But you know that theme of like you hold your baby or your cat or something. Like I'm showing my short baby places they've never seen before around. Kristen lifting up Tom going, showing your short friend things they've
really
never
funny.
Seen before. And it's like on the set of
That's
Top
really
Chef.
Funny.
The Top Shelf. And he's like, oh, he was really funny.
It's really good. I got a lot of time for that.
Yeah.
Do you remember, I think it was last year, I wanted to see it but didn't, the Naked Gun movie, the remake.
I didn't see it either.
We can watch it if we have Paramount Plus. It's on the 8th of March. That is the one with Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson.
Nice.
Apparently it was funny. Apparently it was really good.
They're all funny.
That's true. I bet you the other three movies are all on Paramount Plus as well. Mm-hmm. That makes sense, doesn't mm-hmm. it? I've got two more. The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, season 4, that was the one we were talking about. That's on Disney Plus on the 12th of March, and it's a series and it's about Mormon wives. Rooster on the 9th of March on HBO. This one sounds interesting. It's kind of like that Rachel Wise one. It's a series. It's set on a college campus and it's got Steve Carell in it, and he's like quite a popular author, but he's navigating the messy realities of academia, family, and reinvention.
Sounds serious.
It's kind of a funny one though. It's described as a comedy.
Okay.
He's something to do with his daughter
I
and him
like it's going to have that sort of indie
Four Seasons kind
dendy,
of stuff.
Dendy going to the dendy to watch. The movie, that kind of a feel?
I'd be on board with that.
Yeah, that
sometimes
is really,
I'm in the mood for that.
That is really you.
It is a me thing. That's true. I don't want to talk about these streaming things anymore. My goodness, why don't you leave me alone? Until I ask you later on, what 1980s movie are you, Kira BuzzFeed?
I thought you were going to say, what can I watch this week? Hello, streaming services. I know I rudely told you to go away, but.
Come back.
I need you. It's the 11th of March and I've got nothing.
I'm lost without you. I think it's time for those watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
All right, you've got something?
Yeah, I got two things.
Sick, bro, me too.
Come out of town. I'll go first. Okay, now I'll give you the choice. Do you want the gripping show?
Gripping.
Or?
Yeah.
You don't want the or?
I think. Is the or the boring one that wasn't that good?
Both of them are good. Oh. Or a documentary-ish.
Gripping.
I watched All Her Fault on Foxtel or Binge. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it.
You would
have seen the poster for it.
Posters. It has Sarah Snook in it, Michael Pena, Dakota Fanning, like the list just keeps going on. Abby Elliott, who's in Bear.
What's the bloke who was in the first season of The White Lotus? Is that, I always forget his name.
Yes. His name is Jake Lacy.
Yeah, that's right. As well. He looks like a Jake Lacy as well, but I cannot remember his name.
He looks so much like a Jake.
Yeah, this looks good. And was it?
Oh, my gosh, it's so good. So it's an adaptation of a book which tells you everything. Tells you everything. But it...
All her fault.
Yeah. I tell you what, that title rings in your head just constantly as you're watching it because you go, that title could go in so many different directions.
Open for interpretation.
But heavily open and intentionally open for interpretation, but really, really good because it doesn't really lead you anywhere for the story. Like it could be called Kid Missing.
Here we go.
Yeah. But giving it a title that makes you think constantly is really clever. That's a book for you though, isn't it?
Mm.
Anyway, it begins where Melissa Irvine, who's played by Sarah Snook, she arrives at an address to pick up her son Milo from a play date. And she knows the mum kind of enough, you know, they've met at school things. And the mum texted her the address and said, they'll be with the nanny. I won't be there yet, but they'll be with the nanny. Here's the address. So she goes to the house and says, hi. You know, I'm Milo's mum. And the woman's like, mm-hmm. And she goes, oh, I'm here to pick up Milo. He's having a play date with Jacob. And the woman goes, there's no Milo here. Like, there's no kids here at all. And she's like, what? So all of a sudden you could imagine the panic that has set in of, I sent my kid off on a play date. He's not here. Where is he? Holy moly.
It's a good setup.
It's a very good setup. It's really clever because it starts immediately. You have a couple of flashbacks, probably more so as the series goes on, flashbacks to kind of give you more of that backstory. But it's a very interesting child abduction story because we've seen them before, haven't
yeah.
we? Like if you think about it, we have seen it before, but you're just constantly guessing.
Accusing.
And yes. Mm. And because of that title,
yeah.
All Her Fault, well, you go, well.
Which her?
Which her? Because there are six of them standing in this room right now. Some of them are heavily connected to this little boy, some kind of not really at all. But was it her action that caused all of this? Was that one decision all her fault?
Did you finish it? Do you know whose fault it is?
I've got one episode left.
Oh,
I paused it because they were starting to tell more information. Things that you had assumed because you'd seen one person's side of the story, and where I've paused it, you're kind of getting the other side of the story and you're like, oh, whoa, this is
opening
way
up.
More going on.
Yeah.
It is incredible. It's actually filmed in Victoria, in Australia.
And I thought she's Australian,
yeah,
isn't she?
It's a Screen Victoria.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
Collab. Apparently, they have one of the most state-of-the-art film studios with, I guess, the technology that is taken to combine scenes with generated pictures. I didn't describe that.
Oh, like
at
in
all,
the background,
you know what I mean?
Like
yes.
the background, like a blue screen, but not a blue screen.
Yes, and
kind of like what they did with the Mandalorian and those kind of things. Cool.
So it is, state of the art. So they've come
there,
to
but
Victoria.
Not really there.
It's set in Chicago, so they only filmed in Chicago for certain actual on-site locations that they really, really needed. But the rest of it, it made me look because I was looking going, these houses look Australian.
Oh,
like, yeah. Isn't that funny how you can tell immediately? Yeah. And they've obviously picked ones that...
They've got to hide the gum trees, which are everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Eucalyptus trees are everywhere.
They didn't really on some of the bits. Okay. But on other things. But they've gone so far as the cars have a left-hand drive.
Oh, right. Yeah, cool.
And that's what got me. That's what made me go and research it because they pull into a car park and I was like, I swear to you, this is Australia.
Look where the arrows are on the ground.
Look at the curb. Look at the white curb.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's an Australian one, like right next to a beach. We know what they look like. They're pretty iconic's not the word, but they're obvious to us.
Yeah.
And I looked. they pulled up in a left-hand drive and then it was panning across and the other cars parked were a right-hand drive. I'm like, got ya. I got ya.
I worked you out.
But in saying that, so many of the minor characters are Australian actors.
I like that. That's really exciting.
Really, really like it.
That's cool. Well, I'm not going to give you an option. I'm going to give you the breakfast and the evening watching suggestions in that order.
All of your YouTube stuff.
Of my YouTube.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I can see that already.
So you got your iPad, you're walking around the house getting ready, popping it up on the kitchen sink, taking it into the bathroom whilst mm-hmm. you brush your teeth or whatever. And in the morning, you'll be watching Emily's Literary Corner. Mm. She's a French lady and she owns a bookshop in a town in France. It's near a university because she talks about the movies that the books that sell that she has to continuously restock and it's like, oh, and this is because they're teaching it at the university.
They're the syllabus.
So she sells a lot of English books and Spanish books.
Cool.
Which is quite unusual, you know,
in France.
And she does a lot of like day in the life. So you see her getting ready. She's got a couple of cats, so they help her in the morning get ready and she'll like talk to the camera and she'll, you know, it'll be like Christmas, getting ready for the Christmas season, decorating the shop, ready for Christmas or, you know, oh, it's becoming the end of winter. This is what it's like at the bookshop at the moment. She's also got like a tiny little cafe where she, you know, can make coffee or tea for people.
Is she
as well.
French?
She's French. Yeah. She speaks in English to the camera.
I was about to say, why do you think she's speaking in English? Broader audience or?
I think she's just got an interest in English. I mean, the fact that she's selling so many English books means that she has an interest in the language. Is my guess.
Interesting.
And she, you can see sometimes she's like, oh, this is the book that I've been reading and it's the English version of it. So pretty impressive
for
us that we don't speak a separate language. But it's very cozy. But like she's getting ready and she's doing stuff in the day. So it helps you think that's my mindset. I'm getting ready, but I'm still feeling cozy.
Yeah.
It's nice and relaxing.
There's something so ridiculous, but I also really enjoy the fact that a lot of our viewing as adults is people doing their adult stuff. But you're like, I will watch this person put their makeup on while they just talk to me.
Look at her rearranging her bookshelf.
Yeah.
Hmm.
This person went shopping and they're just telling me what the items are as they put them away.
I've watched many of those.
Yeah.
Like not even the contrite
ones where they, you know, pack their fridge from completely empty and clean into like perfect lines of 17 sodas. Like, why do you need that many in one fridge? But never mind.
Don't.
I like the cozy.
Thanks. Yeah, where they're like,
thanks for telling me your mundane stuff. I enjoyed escaping my mundane for your mundane.
I don't think I need any more cucumbers, but I will get another capsicum. And you're like, oh, okay, she's supposed to be making a salad.
Jeez, she ate a lot of cucumbers.
Okay, what's the other thing you've watched?
Okay, I watched on Netflix Being Gordon Ramsay.
Oh.
Now, do you remember you and I saw the trailer of it and then we couldn't find it on the menu?
That was weird, wasn't it?
A bit weird. But it appeared.
Okay, good.
And I said, thank you very much, Netflix, for reading my brain from 3 weeks ago. So it is, I think there's, I don't know, maybe only three episodes.
That's enough, I think. I feel like that's enough.
Yeah, I want to put it out there that I don't really know, but I think I might have seen it. Anyway, doesn't matter.
I don't want six episodes of learning about Gordon Ramsay.
No.
I don't think I need it.
No, I don't think
you
do.
I like him, but, you know, I mean, I don't know him, but I've watched stuff that he's done.
I have to say, I do like Gordon Ramsay and not just the chefness of him. I feel like I can see the behind the scenes stuff. And this documentary really went behind the scenes and it kind of ticked everything that I thought I knew about him. And
so would you be best friends or just like a catch up in a group environment, group dinner?
Yeah, I think I could be in his circle of friends.
Yeah.
And I think he would like that I laugh at his stuff because I probably would laugh at his stuff. Anyway, what I predicted of him is that he is a huge family man. And I don't know that you could manufacture this kind of connection with his kids.
Do you see
on screen, on camera, sorry.
Do you see his son? Because I know he went off to the Royal
I haven't,
something. Yeah. He's in the army or the military.
I haven't
sort
seen
of
him
Air
yet.
Force.
So he's got six children.
Oh, he's got, yeah.
Four of them are adults in their 20s and the younger two, one is maybe six or seven and maybe there's three little ones. No, I think there's four older ones. And there's a two-year-old, one and a half, two-year-old. And it's really interesting because he's been with his wife for 30 years now, which is so impressive when you think of
– he and Jamie Oliver.
Yeah, how much their lives have actually changed. But they obviously chose the right partner together. To keep those roots together. And the wife is interviewed quite a lot and she talks about the fact that they were young parents. They wanted to be young parents and they were really proud of being young parents. But when their youngest one was starting to apply for colleges and universities, they were like, oh, house is going to be really quiet. Mm. We are on the younger side. And so they decided
– keep going.
Yeah, keep going. He plays with those little boys in such a way that you're like, you can't manufacture that kind of game. Like,
cute.
The nicknames he gives them, the older girls are talking about him and spend time with him. So he has this really incredible version of fatherhood where he can take one of his daughters on huge meetings in the US, another one that he's like dropping off to school and gets really upset when he's not home, that sort of stuff. And one of his daughters is going in to the food world and she's going off to culinary school. And he has this moment where she's takes him to go buy her Chef White's, like essentially her uniform, and the look on his face, it could have been her in her wedding dress.
No.
He was so proud of
her. That's cute.
It's really, really lovely. That's really cute. Now, that's such a side piece of the documentary because the documentary centers around him opening what's he's never done in his career, but there's a huge building in the UK. I think it's now the tallest building in London, and it's called 22 Bishop's Gate. And he has put forward $20 million of his own money and his own bank loan to get this up and running. And he's taking the top three floors and he's opening five separate restaurant businesses, culinary schools, all of that sort of stuff up there. And it's got obviously a time limit and it's a, you know, construction site. And he's just like, if this doesn't work, I am up the creek because I've put so much money in there. And so as well as all of the TV things that he does, then you've got the family there. It's really –
never sleeps.
He never sleeps. So it's a really interesting view into who he is and the vulnerability he is as a businessman as well. It's interesting. It's not – the flashy doco of a celebrity chef that you would expect.
Yeah.
Feels like it's got a little bit more heart.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds really nice. What's that was on Netflix.
That's on
Ben
Netflix.
Gordon Ramsay. Okay. Mine is for the evening YouTube channel.
Yeah,
you know, you're like, I don't really feel like getting into a series. I don't feel like I'm going to go onto YouTube and type in Wendy Outdoors. She's a lady from Canada. She'd be late 60s, early 70s.
Does she garden?
Nope, she just goes camping, often by herself. You can tell she's been camping for years, probably ever since. She's very competent. She knows, like, she has everything down to a fine art.
Yeah.
Sometimes she brings her dog, Milu. Sometimes she brings her husband. I think his name's Dave. I can't remember. But he won't go camping. Let me be in like the camper van.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was about to ask for the camper van.
How do you do that? So sometimes she just does solo camping.
Yeah.
I think she's from around Vancouver because she goes to the islands.
Yeah.
And she camps there. She went to the Yukon as well, but she usually around there, she might stay one or two nights. She'll bring her canoe around by herself, make food by herself, camping. Do a little bit of fishing.
Because she's so popular now, she doesn't have to work. She could just camp, just enjoy herself.
Just have fun. She's got 470,000 subscribers.
See, people just love to watch.
And she's genuine. When you watch her, it's just like, it's almost like you're sitting there with her, that she's not, it's not a show.
Yeah.
There's that sort of, oh, she's not that good at presentation, but you don't want it to be.
No.
She's being normal.
Yeah, that's what you want. You don't want kind of the formulaic episodes.
Wendy Outdoors, really good. So I've got Emily's literary corner and Wendy Outdoors. It's now time for the quiz. This is care of BuzzFeed. It's low effort.
It's zero.
But it's always
fun. It's like 1% effort.
It's like 1%. Which 80s movie are
okay.
you?
Okay. I feel like I'm going to be bitterly disappointed at the end of this.
I don't know. It might be. I mean, you ended up being Dawson in Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, I know. But that had like, that fed you into what you knew.
Okay.
Like you were going to end up as
one of the
cast. Whereas this, it could end you up on a movie that you're like, ew, no, I'm not watching that.
Which high school stereotype would you secretly be?
Oh, okay,
the artsy daydreamer, the class clown, the loyal underdog athlete, definitely not, the future.
Thanks, Leah.
Can you catch a ball?
No.
Okay. Or the future tech genius.
Did say underdog.
Okay, true. The artsy daydreamer, class clown, loyal underdog athlete, future tech genius.
Oh, God. Oh, artsy. No, I don't want to be the artsy type.
Do you want to be the loyal underdog athlete?
No, because then it'll make me a boy. I don't want to be a boy.
Well, you're just going to be a movie.
Okay. Okay, I'll be the athlete. I take this too seriously.
I know. Your friends describe you as loyal and supportive, clever and quick-witted, calm but intense, adventurous and spirited.
No. I am not adventurous. Don't make me do that stuff.
Don't
make me
do it.
I'm not going with Wendy
no,
camping.
No, Wendy can. You go to Emily's literary store.
I'll have a croissant.
Yeah.
The first one.
Loyal and supportive. Okay. Pick a soundtrack vibe. Cool, dramatic power tracks. Fun, upbeat pop you can dance to.
That's it.
Soft 80s and emotional slow songs.
No.
Rock guitars and adventure music.
Nah, I'm
fun,
pop.
Fun, upbeat pop.
I'm pop.
A friend is sad.
Yeah.
And you show up with snacks and their favourite drink. A funny distraction. Quiet company and a pep talk.
Oh, probably a pep talk.
What about a plan to get them out of the house?
Yeah, let's not wallow. What was the second one?
A funny distraction.
What was the third one?
Quiet company and a pep talk. You were quite happy with that one.
Yeah, I'd give a pep talk. Okay, I don't know if I'd be quiet.
Well, you can't be quiet and pep talk, right? Pick a classic movie moment.
Okay.
A dramatic romance scene.
If it doesn't have slow clap, I'm giving up.
Oh. The big school dance.
Oh, okay, that
okay,
one.
Okay. Do you want to know the others or
yeah,
not?
Yeah,
okay. A wild adventure with friends or a triumphant training montage?
Oh, no way.
School dance.
School dance.
Go to retro arcade game. A will you be playing Street Fighter, Donkey Kong, Pac-Man or Frogger?
Pac-Man. Okay. Never heard of Frogger.
I think it's early. Your ideal friendship style.
Yeah.
Laughing and goofing off together. Ride or die loyalty. I don't know why I've decided to do voices
for
this.
I'm really enjoying them though.
Adventuring and trying new things. Supporting each other's goals.
The second one.
Ride or die loyalty.
Oh, no. Oh, you've already clicked it.
Laughing and goofing off.
Yeah.
You stumble across an abandoned building.
Oh.
What do you do?
Walk away.
Okay. Leave because that gives you a weird feeling. I'm going to click on that one, but I'll give you the other options. Go in but stay cautious.
No, you're not.
You're not doing that. Call friends to come and investigate with you. How are you supposed to call it the 80s?
Good point.
Explore it.
Go
this could
home.
Be exciting.
Pick up the phone from the hallway.
So you go.
Come back. Let's meet outside this creepy old house.
Pick an iconic 80s accessory. Aviator glasses.
Oh.
Scrunchie.
Yep.
Walkman or leg warmers.
Oh, leg warmers.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, fair enough, ballet. Your cinematic flaw is a bit, you're a bit too rebellious.
Oh.
You're too competitive sometimes.
Oh.
No. These are your options.
Oh, okay. I was like, geez, it's rough.
Okay, you're a bit rebellious. You're too competitive sometimes. Always chasing fun instead of responsibilities. Protective to a fault. This is your cinematic flaw.
Protective to a fault.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. What? What? Oh, no. I'm going to hate it, aren't I? Am I going to hate it?
You are.
I'm so nervous.
The Breakfast Club.
Well done.
We're all pretty bizarre.
You know what it was?
Some of us are better than hiding it.
When they can't figure out, none of your answers quite match up, they're like, Breakfast Club. They're all different.
They're in a library.
Yes.
Well done. Stephanie, congratulations. Oh, and on that note, thank you very much.
Leah, this is a silent one.
We all know what that means. Yeah.